RadioArchives.com presents City of Deception, An Adventure of Dan Fowler by C.K.M. Scanlon, read by Milton Bagby. In the days of J. Edgar Hoover's Untouchables, one lawman took on the super criminals even Elliot Ness couldn't touch. Dan Fowler, G-Man. The greatest FBI special agent of his generation, Fowler operated nationwide, hunting down spies, kidnappers, counterfeiters, murderers, and other dire threats to law and order beyond the jurisdiction of local authorities. Assisted by the youthful agent Larry Kendall and brave Sally Vane, Dan Fowler crushed crime with an infallible combination of scientific criminology and punishing Tommy Gun lead. And now, Dan Fowler's thrilling adventure, City of Deception. Chapter 1. First Assignment. He was young and rightfully nervous as he stepped off the train in Floralton. Jack Barnes walked to the end of the platform and wondered where they ever dug up the name of Floralton for this smoky, treeless civic center with its small park where even the grass was dirty. He eyed the bustling traffic and particularly noted the traffic cop on the corner. What was it that instructor at Quantico had lectured on? You can tell a good, honest city administration by the quality and appearance of its police officers. This traffic cop was spick and span. He called his shots perfectly and had plainly been drilled in efficient handling of traffic. A patrolman ambled by, young and alert. He was clean-shaven, his uniform neatly pressed. Jack Barnes decided that Floralton had at least a good police department. He patted the leather wallet in his inside coat pocket. That wallet meant as much as his life, for in it were his credentials as an FBI agent, still crisp and new, as green as he was. He wasn't worried. They never handed stiff assignments to rookies. This one seemed to be a routine check of an anonymous letter, inferring that all was not quite right with the last city election in Floralton. In fact, the bashful letter writer had stated bluntly that the ballot boxes had been stuffed, voters bribed and intimidated, and the whole thing about as honest as a pair of loaded dice. Too many letters of this type come in, the field chief had told Barnes. But that's what we're here for, to investigate complaints, even if they sound silly. Go up there and find out if the election was crooked. Jack Barnes picked up his small bag and walked briskly to a three-story neat-looking hotel. He checked in, did some research with the phone book, and decided that if the election had been crooked, the man who might give him the most information, if not the best, would be the defeated candidate. He proceeded to the local newspaper office and spent an hour reading up on the elections. They'd been especially hot. It seemed that Clinton Hollins, ex-merchant, had been running for mayor every other year with the regularity of the calendar, and been beaten every time, until the last one. From his campaign shots, Clinton Hollins looked like a typical politician. Barnes decided the cartoonists could have a field day with him in office. The defeated and former mayor for three terms was a strikingly handsome man named Walter Jameson. He seemed to have given satisfactory, if not brilliant, administrations. Barnes decided to see him first. He walked along Main Street for a short time to get the feel of the town. Cafes seemed to be quiet, decently run. There was no abundance of cheap pool parlors, no tobacco stores with fly-specked dummy cigar boxes in the windows, and direct wires to horse tracks in the back room. In fact, Jack Barnes was beginning to get the idea that Floralton wouldn't be such a bad place to live. The girls were pretty, too. He was young enough to notice that. Walter Jameson lived in a large, dark, and brooding brick house set behind a tall row of ancient elms. There was a wrought-iron fence around the property, but the gates were hospitably open. Jameson apparently didn't stand on ceremony. He opened the door himself.